What's up, everybody? This is Preston Johnson at Sports Cheetah on Twitter, and we are here with episode 8 of A Petty Moose, brought to you by Fantasy Guru Elite. Check us out there online on Twitter, Guru Elite DFS. Matt Lindemann with me in studio. How are you doing tonight?
I'm great. Just sweating this. Oh, baby.
We got a tie game?
That'll work. Yeah. Sweating this Dodgers series price I took yesterday, so I'm rooting for you.
What number did you actually get?
I took 140. That was as good as it was at the time. Went up a little bit today, actually.
Because sale got steamed to hell. Yeah,
it's crazy. But I don't know. Good start. You know, I figured 2-0 bottom of the first, they were done. And
yeah, it seemed dead. I mean, two of the runs are off. Guys can't field pop flies. One was the foul out in the first inning. David Freese overruns it like he's a 5-year-old shagging balls in the home run derby. And then Chris Taylor just totally misplayed one in left field. So, I mean, it could easily be 3-1 instead. I mean, that's how it was the Brewers game where Kershaw, everyone said, oh, playoff Kershaw. Gave up 6 and like 4 were unearned on 4 errors, and Grandal was like 2 of them that I think were for three of the runs. So anyways, they're back in it, 3-3. Barnes is guy on third, you know, maybe take the lead here. So I have a sweat now that Bellinger is in the game. A really big one, and I have a bad feeling.
Oh God.
They're already pinch hitting him in the fifth, so now I have to sweat like 3 at bats.
Oh no, I forgot about this.
There was a place offering Bellinger no home run -600. He didn't need to start for action. And he wasn't starting. It was official that he wasn't starting because Sale's a lefty. They were using all their righties. So I laid a really big number to win a pretty substantial amount. It went through twice, then they pulled it, actually. And so it's official. The bet's still up there. I checked when the game started. They're not going to try to screw me or anything. But Bellinger, no home run. So if you want to bet live Dodgers, now is the time. They are probably going to hit a two-run shot. 5-3 here.
God, that would be terrible. And then you got that short porch and right, too.
Yeah, oh, it's way short.
Oh, God.
That's the other reason why it was kind of dangerous. I was like, hey, man, looked up. He hits a home run every 3.95% of his plate appearances.
Yeah.
This season, it's data from last year. It goes up to like 5%, but I had to take it. I mean, it's like true line -2,000 to 2,500, and I'm getting -600. So.
Well, hey, hopefully base hit here, and then we avoid extra innings, and he only has one or two ABs.
Yeah, one more AB. Probably it's going to be two more, though. So, yeah, it's almost like a full game if he's getting three. Maybe a couple walks or an intentional walk or something. Anyway, let's get to the show. Sorry, guys, but I am a Dodgers fan. It is the World Series, and I'm hoping they can actually pull it out this time. But we have a ton of questions we got on Twitter. Maybe some calls coming in, maybe not. 702-364-1100. I should double-check, make sure the actual Periscope stream's working. Let me check that.
I don't know.
The internet in here is a little slow. It is working. All right, I see it. We're good. We are live. So, yeah, call in if you have any questions about college football, NFL, NBA. We had a bunch of questions coming in on Twitter, at least, about the NBA scoring onslaught. I'm curious if you guys have noticed just people just blindly betting overs from the NBA action that you do get. I don't know, we can touch on that now just if you wanted to.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I actually noticed something. Well, I texted my boss a couple days ago, and I said, hey, there are a lot of people that have been joking around about just blind betting these overs in NBA. So I came in that day. I ran through and just kind of did the numbers on what the average total had closed.
There it is.
Oh, ooh, no.
It looked like it could have been. We don't have sound
either. His heart dropped over here. Oh, that's
sorry,
terrible.
I interrupted
that's
you.
Just wrong. No, it's all good. I said something about it, and then I saw a few tweets yesterday that actually broke it down, and we're saying that I think scoring had gone from roughly, what was it, 212 points a game up to like 232 or 220? What was it?
226. It was like each team's like 107 to 114 per
team.
So it's like
crazy.
228, I guess. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just one of those things I think you have to, as a bookmaker, be aware of the rule change and the fact that you're probably just going to get blind over on top of all the other people that are hearing about it, you know, just
and
the public guys.
Yeah,
so you really should, you know, there's no reason to be on the low side of the market unless, you know, you've taken some underbets.
Yep. No, I was just curious how you guys played it out. You get at least some action before you guys are putting up totals that's driving it up. Like every bet online, then Chris, then Pinnacle opens moving. Like at least 3 or 4 points before everyone else is even putting them up, which probably helps your cause a little, getting less action at least. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just amazed. I mean, today, like what was the Pelicans? 237? I don't know if I've ever seen a total above like 232. And those are usually like Warriors and, you know, Thunder or
Rockets
something like
or
that. Yeah, so that's pretty wild.
Even those are like usually they were 220s. The 230s was never really happening, and now it is. And so people asked, we'll address that now before we jump into some college football games. But there is a rule change or two. There's two specifically that are causing it. I also think there's some other variables. And so I've only bet one under, and it actually won. It was an OKC Clippers under. Other than that, I had just been firing overs and done pretty well. Like my NBA starts like 22-7 or something. I've been pretty high. So I'm not betting unders ultimately unless it's just a total overreaction, which we might see in another week or two probably. But I'm being patient on that before I really jump in and try to attack it. But there's a few things. One, there's a rule change, excuse me, just about kind of the way they're calling fouls and freedom of movement. That's the actual terminology, freedom of movement. So however you want to define that, the offensive player is supposed to have more freedom of movement. I think a lot of it is off-ball stuff. So they're calling a lot more off-ball fouls. You'll see, like, especially like in the finals or Western Conference finals, the Rockets especially were holding Steph Curry and Klay Thompson on anything off-ball, coming off screens, just, you know, as physical as they possibly could be, which benefited them. They had a chance, but they're more strict now calling fouls there. And then I think partly correlated to that, another variable is the fact that this is the earliest NBA's ever started. Players are the least shape possible. I don't know if you've played a ton of pickup basketball. I have. I still do. I'm a big guy. I'm not in shape. And if I'm trying and using and exerting any energy, it's on the offensive side. I want to score. I want to make a pass. I want to hit shots. I do not care about defense. Now, it is the NBA. They should care about defense. But even subconsciously, you're putting that energy that you do have, if you're just not ready for, you know, NBA season to start in the middle of October, probably on the offensive side. That means they're lazily fouling more on top of the fact they're supposed to be calling more fouls. And then on top of all of that, and this is the one thing I tried to actually quantify coming into the season, but shot clocks on misses on offensive rebounds are not resetting to 24 anymore. They're resetting to 14 seconds. And so that's getting shots up a lot quicker. You can actually go through and kind of, you know, have at least a projection on how many offensive rebounds the team's expected to have, their current pace of play, and then, you know, figure to a certain extent how often that's going to affect the total. And so even before the season, or I should say as it was starting, totals were low because of that, and it wasn't being accounted for. And then the fouling's just been kind of crazy. So there's a lot that goes into it, but it's been fun if you've been riding them, if you've been trying to bet unders because you were unaware of the rule changes. It's been rough. So I think eventually there'll be some value on unders, but I don't think I'm going to be trying for another week or two. Let me pull up the script. I always forget to do that after we hit record. See what we have going on. Moneyline.com contest, it'll be back on this week. I have everything caught up. I'm going to post the standings from the 2 weeks back. Didn't do a version last week, so there's probably someone out there that would have hit a huge one. I don't think there was a massive underdog that went out, right?
I was going to use Wake, so I didn't really mind. You kind of forgot.
10-0, and then it all went to hell. But this week, there will be one Thursday that will get posted. You guys will have, you know, a day and a half to 2 days or whatever it ends ends up being to get that in, and we will just keep rolling it over like we will or have been. $1,000 on the line to the top three. We'll start with the Twitter questions. Again, call in 702-364-1100 if you have questions on games, baseball, NBA, whatever. But the first one comes from at Darren MMOV. He asked about the NBA, which we discussed, but he also had questions about the Utah State line and what our favorite over in college football is this week, which I'll have to take a look now and see. I had one that I bet that has moved a few points, so it's maybe not my favorite anymore, but I can talk about that. But first, Utah State, I think it's New Mexico, right? It's down to 20. My number was quite a bit higher. I'm not sure where yours is. I think when it opened at 23, I thought it was pretty fair. I'm guessing mine was either 23 or 22.5, 23.5, like right around there. And then it since got pushed down to 20 at Chris, 20.5 at Pinnacle. There's still a few 21s around, but so I kind of disagree with the move, actually. You might have a different sentiment there. I'm not sure if there's injuries involved. I haven't seen anything. I looked it up to make sure Utah State wasn't like missing somebody, but New Mexico's just taking some money, and I don't know. I don't know what number I would need to back Utah State. Maybe 19.5 or better would be the number, but anyways, it's a pass for me for now, but it's getting close to where I'd actually look against the move.
Well, yeah, this is the second straight week that New Mexico's taking money. Last week, we couldn't figure it out really against Fresno.
Yep.
They got bet down from what, like 14.5, 15, something like that, close 13, 13.5. Just never had a shot. So I don't know what we're maybe missing on New Mexico because I haven't been terribly impressed by them. Like, you know, beating UNLV, I guess that was nice, but it was UNLV's first game with the backup.
Yeah, yep.
Other than that, I mean, they beat Incarnate Word and New Mexico State. So I don't really know what they see in them as far as, you know, maybe on the Utah State side, I guess you could argue, you know, they didn't look as good last week. 53 passing yards in that game, looks like. So I could maybe see, you know, they're saying Utah State coming back to earth a little bit. But I don't know, laying, you know, 20, 21, or, you know, even taking that against Utah State just seems off. Like, I don't know. I've got, I think, 23, 24. So.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah, so Matt's kind of on the same side, I think, as far as that game goes. We have our first caller, I believe. Jason is on the line. How you doing tonight, bud?
Hey, Preston. It's Jason.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, just licking my wounds with the Chris Sale strikeout prop. So.
you had 6.5, right, I'm guessing?
Yeah, I did. I had bet that at Bet Online, and they had 6.5, I think. If I had money in five downs, which I don't. I'm guessing that was probably seven. But
I got lucky. I had seven in town. Six and a halves were like anywhere from like plus 125 to 150 I saw today. Anyways, what do you have for us? College game, baseball question, NBA?
So I'm a call about Homer, LSU. I'm wondering, I'm not sure if y'all talked about, I haven't listened yet, talked about the game yet.
Nope.
2 weeks from now, I'm sure y'all aren't. But just curious to see what some of your early thoughts are on that line. I see it's sitting at 14, and I was looking at history. The past six games LSU's had at home in Baton Rouge, they haven't lost any of them by more than 14. You got to go back to 2006 when they lost by more than that. I'm just curious what your thoughts are, just looking ahead at that game.
Yeah, thanks for the question. I'm going to kick it to Matt because he's actually lining these game of the year lines for SEC teams every week at Caesars. And then they, I think, just recently put up 14 yesterday, or maybe it was even Sunday night. But you can kind of just talk about the action you've seen on the game specifically and how it's changed. But I actually said, to preface this, on Saturday I was with a friend watching games who was in town. And I said, you know, everyone's going to talk about how every Bama LSU game is a close game. They're always within X amount of points. And I still don't think LSU's that good. I don't think they're a top five team. I really don't. I bet against them with Florida, but I also bet against them when I laid it with Georgia when it came down, which I thought was, you know, too low. And so here we are again. I'm probably going to be looking at Bama, but I'm in no rush to do it because I think there's going to be a lot of people backing LSU.
Yeah, you know, every week we put up these games of the year, and get so much attention on Twitter. Everybody's got their opinions. You know, this is free money. Alabama minus 14 is free money, blah, blah, blah. No one actually bets anything. You know, like, I want to tell you about all the action we've taken, but there's just really not that much action. And just for whatever reason, doesn't generate handle. I know that a lot of the people that are commenting don't live in Nevada or, you know, Mississippi or Jersey necessarily, but it's just kind of funny. You know, every week, you know, there's so many people that rush to tell you how wrong you are, but then no one ever actually does anything.
Yeah.
You know, I think 14 is fair. Obviously, I came up with the number, but I really don't know what to do with Alabama. They just still haven't played anybody, in my opinion. They really haven't been tested. You know, one home game against A&M where I didn't really think they looked all that good. I think they, you know, benefited from a couple of early turnovers, and I think A&M got close to 400 yards offense. So this is far and away the toughest test they've faced yet. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say I think LSU is the right side or anything like that, but I don't know if I've seen anything from Alabama. Do we know that they can play in a tough game? How are they going to handle that situation when they've never been punched in the mouth before? You know, it's just kind of, it's tough to really read the Alabama side of it, you know, how good they really are and if they can just walk right in and dominate LSU like they have everybody else.
And then on the other side, the Bama fanatic would say, well, how do we know how good they really are when Tua never plays more than the first half? Like, could they score 187 points on LSU? Maybe they could.
Yeah,
we don't actually know. So I actually, in a weird way, it's like this high variance game where we don't have a lot of data, like almost like you're betting a week one or something.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
So it's going to be interesting for sure. Jason, you still on the line?
Yep, I'm still here.
Did you have a way you were leaning? I was just curious what your thoughts were real quick.
I mean, as a homer, I'm leaning. I feel like 14 points is just a ton Saturday night in Death Valley. I don't think Tua is, not to talk up too much homer, but I don't think Tua has ever been in a scenario he's going to be in Saturday night. I think it's going to be the kind of thing you're going to know early on how it's going to go. If, you know, they march down the field and score in a minute, then I think he could get out of hand because LSU is not built to play from behind.
Nice. No, yeah. I think those are good thoughts. Thanks, Jason, again for the call. We appreciate it.
I mean, y'all have a good night.
It's true. I just don't think LSU is that great. And I think it might be one where if you're going to bet LSU, you take the first half.
Yeah, it's funny.
If Alabama does kind of start slow or something. But
yeah, like, I mean, I think every week people try to fade LSU. I don't know how this happened. After all the shit I've talked about Mississippi State, I somehow ended up betting them live last week.
Oh, really?
And yeah.
LSU, like, halfway through the game had 1 point. It was 0.1 yards per play, I think, through a quarter and a half, and then it went up to one by halftime.
Yeah, they
couldn't move the ball.
They were the wrong side, but they're that team this year that just, they drive you crazy. They cover every week, and you just can't beat them when you try to go against them. So, of course, you know, take the two touchdowns next week, and they'll get smashed. But
lose by 30. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, we have David up on the line. David, thanks for calling. How you doing tonight?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We are doing good. Well. What do you have for us?
Wanted to talk about can a sharp bookmaker line lead you to a right side?
Bookmaker as in the actual site, like Chris, bookmaker?
Yeah, kind of like last week. I mean, you kind of have to have a good idea what the line's supposed to be anyways. But like last week with Ohio State and Purdue as an example, when it was 13 and I had it 14.5, and being the spot that it was in, it felt like people were going to lean to Ohio State anyways. So it felt like maybe the books are kind of maybe taking a side a little bit. And if they're willing to do that, should you not necessarily make that play, but you should be looking in that direction.
Matt, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know how many. I know no one really believes this when I say this, but there's no set, like they really like we don't walk into work and decide to
take a side.
You know, it just really doesn't happen like that. I mean, we might, you know, I might say I like something, or somebody else will say they like something, and we'll, you know, not go out of our way to need that side, but we'll do what we can.
Shade a half point,
you know, maybe to make sure that people on the other side are betting the worst number, but or you know, maybe enticing people to bet the other side. I said, but not necessarily, you know, going and. You know, taking this huge stand. But, you know, I will say as far as looking at Chris and Pinnacle and some of the sharper offshore, well, maybe not Pinnacle, but definitely, you know, Chris and Bet Online, looking at some of those sharper offshore books and seeing where they're at on a game, I think is something everyone should be doing pretty much every time they're handicapping a game. You kind of need to know where the sharp books are, you know, in regards to the market to get an idea of where some of that more respectable money is. I think it should at least play somewhat of a role in, you know, kind of helping you decide, you know, am I on the right side here? If you don't have all the other information available. So that's something I would definitely be checking. And I do agree that I think a game like that where maybe you make the number higher and it's, you know, way lower and then it keeps going against you at some of those sharper books, that is something you can say, hey, maybe I'm missing something here. Maybe I've got a bad number and, you know, dig in a little deeper.
That was actually why, like, last week the number had gone from the 13.5 down to 12.5. And at that point, you don't really want to take the points. I'm kind of stubborn. You don't want to take a worse number
right
when you actually think it should maybe be 14 anyways. And I had mentioned maybe Purdue money line's a good option. And then sure enough, it actually panned out. But I think I lost my other 4 or 5 money line bets last weekend. So it didn't end up mattering for the round robin. But that's a point where, like, okay, maybe it is worth just taking a stab here at the plus 389 or whatever it was.
Yeah, and, you know, I think once you get into the point where the number's kind of gotten away from you, say you want to bet Purdue in that situation, what I've kind of started doing is instead of going against my number pregame, I'll just watch the game. And if I, you know, still feel like after a quarter or a few drives it produces the right side, I'm going to try to play it live or maybe at halftime, something like that. If I feel like I've got that confirmation from, you know, kind of what I was getting, you know, the read I was getting on the game pregame, then maybe I'll try to do something during the game. I'm just not going to force that at a bad number, though, after the move.
I was actually really close to betting him second half, like the plus, I think it was 5.5
money.
Or something.
Yeah, it was easy.
David, did you bet the second half by chance or bet them live or end up with any piece of Purdue?
Yeah, I actually took them plus 10.5 live. It was kind of late in the first quarter. I could kind of tell they weren't going to lose in the trenches, which was what I was worried about. And so I was like, okay, well, I'm jumping on this now. I actually didn't play the money line, which I was like, oh, my God, why didn't I play the money line? Because later on in the night I played Arizona plus 13.5. Live and Arizona plus 535 money line, and of course that one didn't work out. But anyways, yeah, I got a piece of it at least.
No, that's good. I think Haskins ended up throwing over 50 times. Part of it was because they were down, but also they were down because they couldn't run the ball at all, and they just needed to throw if they wanted to gain yards. So that was a good catch. Thanks again, David, for calling. We appreciate it.
Yep. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no, that under was like one of the sharpest plays on the board. Just got blasted down. And what, I mean, what a bad beat that was. Horrible.
I was praising that I didn't have action. I don't know how I didn't. But I tweeted, like, as I saw it coming, and then it ends up being a pick six. Like, they couldn't just get a stop and end it. It still would have stayed under, but pick six Haskins for Purdue to go the other way is brutal.
Well, anytime you bet an under, you know that when you got a blowout late, all you need is the team. When the team has the ball that's winning, you just don't need them to bust a 50-yard run.
And
Purdue did it twice, so it's just sick. But what can you do?
BetterX threw in a question here. He wanted Linda Train, and you can follow Matt at Linda Train. Discuss our thoughts on Stanford, Washington State. Typically, Shaw has been good in this spot, but Leach has his boys playing well. So I didn't watch it because I didn't have a ton of action until the fourth quarter because I actually had a middle on three. And Oregon was down 27-0 at halftime at Washington State and somehow got to 27-17. And then I flipped it on, and then the three actually didn't. And they were actually first in goal, and they ended up kicking a field goal, so it went to 7 instead of 3, and then I stopped following it again. But they got outplayed, and I think Washington State's just – all year, they were an under season wins, I bet, that's almost certainly dead. And defensively, they are stronger than I anticipated. And then they've thrown in, what's his name? Is it Minshew? How you say it?
Yeah.
Transfer. He's been pretty good. And kind of, you know, the Leach quarterbacks kind of are. There's just a system that works and they're able to execute. And he doesn't turn the ball over very much. Double play one time.
Got it.
He said he was safe. He called the other one out, which was clear safe. All right.
Well, I'll
sweat this for a second. But for me, and actually, let me pull up, see where the market's at exactly right now. It's Stanford -3. It opened 2.5 -115. That's up to 3. Some shaded juice to -3 on -115. I think he is safe. That's back-to-back. There's two runs now that have been scored because they couldn't turn a double play by about an inch or whatever, millisecond. All right, here's the closest. I have to watch this one, but I'm pretty sure he's there.
Yeah, he's there.
So close. Twice. Somehow he got the other one wrong, though, which was actually less close. Poor Ryan Madsen. Maybe you shouldn't have walked the guy on 4 pitches when you came out and threw in a pass ball to move the guys over. Anyways, mistakes. Errors and wild pitches and hit batters. Like, the Dodgers have been doing it all playoffs. They just escaped barely, but I don't think they're going to escape if they're doing it against Boston. So here we are. But your thoughts on the particular game? Stanford played really well at ASU. I had the under in that game. We talked about it on the show, actually, because it just moved a ton. We did the show Thursday night. It had gone up to 60 from 51.5, and I was like, that's it. I'm betting under. That ended up working out, even though it almost went to overtime in some miracle fashion late. But Stanford got the win. My number is slightly above a 3. Yours is, I think, if I remember looking earlier, slightly below a 3. So it's right around the number. I'm not betting the game, I don't think. The only thing I had a little bit of an edge to from the move from 55 to 53 is over. My number was like right at 55 where it opened. So I don't know. I'm not betting a 53. If it got to 51 or lower, then I'd consider over.
Yeah, you know, I kind of feel like I'm still a step behind on Washington State. We talked about last week how I made Oregon the favorite in that game, and it was just one of those games I was staying away. I could tell something was wrong. And, I mean, not only did Washington State win, but they dominated pretty much, you know, when it mattered. So I just kind of feel like I'm a little off on Washington State. I think I faded them. I faded them against Utah also, and just, I don't know. It's been frustrating for me with them, and obviously I don't like playing any Stanford games, so... You know, it's interesting looking at the last 2 years. Washington State's really kind of handed it to Stanford. Two Stanford teams that are better than this one. So
that's a good point. Yeah,
yeah, kind of interesting that Leach seems to have Shaw's number. It's not something many coaches in that conference can say.
Chris is on the line. Thank you for calling, buddy. How you doing tonight?
Good. How are you guys?
We are doing well. What do you have for us?
Just a couple things. One, like down the Iowa Penn State, I have a line around 3.6.
All right,
I don't know if you can hear us, Chris. You cut out a bunch, and then you cut out completely. Jeez, another run. Chris, are you still there? Can you hear us?
Yeah.
All right,
I was just wondering,
try again. Yeah,
your
go
thoughts,
for it.
Thoughts on the Iowa-Penn State game, and is it worth laying the juice for Tua to win the Heisman?
Ooh, those are good questions.
Good question.
So two games I have action on, or two items, events I have action on. I wouldn't lay it at 6.5, but the earlier number, well, I would. If I had to choose now, I would lay 6.5, but I would have, you know, preferred to lay 4 or 4.5 if you could Sunday night, Monday morning. So it's less of an edge now at 6.5, but I do think it's the right side. And then for me, I bet Tua at 275 and 280 to win the Heisman, even though I already have him at 30-1 from the summer. So I added to it. So I think it's an injury bet, and that's about it. You know, and even if he went in to LSU and somehow lost, which I just don't think is very plausible ultimately, you know, he's still probably the favorite anyways. Haskins had a horrible game at Purdue, and I think that sets everything up kind of nicely for it to be Tua or Kyler Murray, which I also have a bet on Kyler Murray at 30-1. So I'm kind of in a good spot, maybe for someone that's in less of a Tua situation. But I think you bet +200.
You had 30-1 on Murray also?
Yeah. That was 30-1 like the day before season started.
So you laid 275 and you laid 275 and 280 on Tua. Wow.
Yeah, today actually.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think anything over $2 I probably wouldn't do at this point. I don't really, it's just a matter of how much money you have around and if you're willing to
just put
the money up, you know, for a month and a half on and, you know, kind of fight through or, you know, sweat the injury, I guess. But, you know, really, we got what? Maybe he's got to probably play two more games. One of them, they still have a game against an FCS team. So, you know, like you said, yeah, you basically, he's pretty much going to have to get hurt against LSU, I think, probably, for it to really fall apart. So let's hope he just goes out there and just isn't terrible. I think he pretty much just needs to not be mediocre for the last four games to because I got that too.
+150 or 200.
I got 300 to 1 and even money. So pretty much 2-1. But, I'm a little jealous of your bet for sure.
Well, I bet the three in the summer, but you want to know how bad the third one was? It was essentially a bet that one of them win at 10-1 because I bet them all for the same amount at 30-1.
Oh wow!
But guess who the other one was? If you, I'll give you two guesses.
Greer?
No. I'm not. I think of me trying to do the opposite of tooting my own horn. This is how bad this pick was.
Oh my God! JT Daniels?
Khalil Tate.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I mean, he got injured and he just, but he's been so bad that that's completely dead. I think you can get him like 5,000-1 now if you look at Westgate. I checked it.
Yeah, you can't. Like, I want to take these guys off that aren't going
to
win, but you can't.
You're not allowed
technically,
to.
Yeah, they could win. So,
anyways, Chris, I don't know if you're still on the line, but we appreciate the call, bud. Good luck this week and have a good night.
Thanks.
We have Jim up as well. I just saw we had another one on the line. Jim, can you hear us all right?
Yeah, I can hear you. Thanks.
Perfect. How you doing tonight?
Good. This is Jim. Yeah, Cheetah, I talked to you. I get all your stuff on Elite. I was talking to you on chat tonight. I'm a big fan of everything you and MLB model do. I take pride in scouring the landscape for some of the best talents out there. You guys are some of the best, most reputable I know, so I just want to let you know that.
I appreciate the shout-out. What else do you have for us?
I have one overall betting question. I've heard some guidance on it, but just want to hear what you guys have to say about it. How does a book decide, like say the line is -3 and it starts getting hit a little, how do they decide whether they want to move it maybe with a hook to -3.5 versus adding juice from 110 to 120? When do they do one or the other?
Sure. So Matt's actually, you know, he's an odds maker / bookmaker. I don't know what your exact title is. Maybe I should find out. But
yeah, bookmaker. Yeah.
Bookmaker. There you go. So he can probably answer this more concretely. My assumption / of my knowledge, it's going to be dependent on a lot of variables. When it's happening, when the move's happening, when they're getting hit, for how much, by who, which accounts, whether it's happening at certain books versus other books. So there's a lot that goes into it. And also for like a 3, your example there, Jim, it's going to take a lot more to move a 3 to a 3.5 than it would be to move a 16 to a 15.5 or something, right? So it's going to be dependent on the key number or if it is a key number. But I'm not sure if Matt has. I'm not sure what your guys' limits are through the app because I don't actually use Caesars.
Yeah, it varies
counter,
based on,
but depending on who it is,
bunch of stuff. Yeah.
So yeah, it's probably not a question that really has a single concrete answer.
Yeah, you know. Sorry. I was just going to say, you know, like I think everyone knows that not all half points are created equal and that 3 and 7 are worth more. So you kind of have levels there through 3 where, you know, going from 3 to 3.5 is just a huge move, or, you know, from 3 flat to 3.5 flat. So you kind of, you know, try to find that middle ground, 3 -15, 3 -20, 3.5 even, 3.5 05. And you'll kind of bounce around based on, you know, you'll maybe do that if the market is, you know, situated in a certain way, or if, you know, you've taken a bet at 3 flat, you've taken a bet at 3.5 flat, you know, you're getting money on both sides. So you're trying to find a good middle ground. So people, or, you know, books will maybe try, you know, a juice 3 or 3.5. So it really kind of just depends on where the rest of the market is, what your liability is, and where you've taken bets along the way.
All right. Thanks. I appreciate it, guys. One more quick question.
Yeah, sure. Fire away.
One other thing. I don't know if this is more for Cheetah, the actual guy who gives picks, or for you as the bookmaker, but, I guess as I'm just learning about betting pretty in-depth over the years, I've come to the conclusion just learning from guys like you and MLB model, and you know, I know Pizzola does this. Are you an advocate of per sport pretty much, or, you know, whether it's for the week for football or for the day for MLB or you know, something like NBA, are you more of an advocate of modeling and just seeing what the numbers say and first thing, 8:30 a.m., get it in, or are you more of like wait and see where the day or week takes it and you can actually handicap it?
I'm probably split pretty much. I think there's certain games that you're like kind of prepping ahead of time, say after Saturday's games, and I know stuff's going to open on Sunday, but I have circled that I kind of know ahead of time there's no questions of injury. There's no real like quote unquote flat spot or look ahead or bye week here. So if the number says you need to bet it, then you just do it. There's a lot more of those earlier in the season than there are as the season progresses. So usually I'm trying to take advantage of them, you know, if the numbers line up. But if there's a question or there are some variables you want to find out, I mean, you have to wait. I think it's bad long term to fire anyways when there could be significant changes. Like, by the way, this reminded me that there was a guy who wanted our favorite over bet of the week, which I'll talk about after this. But if you're trying to bet, you know, I thought of the Arizona game like last week and Khalil Tate, and I waited to bet over because I wanted him out. I didn't want him playing hurt again. And so I was waiting to find out if he was going to start or not. And I actually had a question when someone said, why did you bet the over? Did you not know Khalil Tate was out? Because it started slow and he was mad that it was going to probably lose. Right. So I ended up winning actually. But I wanted the bet And I wanted to bet over because I thought Rodriguez was better against Utah in the second half and just more dynamic because he has 2 feet and Khalil Tate really was playing with one. So that was some information I wanted to wait on before I actually made a bet. So you have to do all of it, I think. It's all part of the equation. But
and then what about for, like, daily sports? Like, you know, I know MLB model puts his stuff out first thing. I know for NBA, you know, more modelable sports like that. Maybe, you know, I know I saw an Elite USO picked out for tomorrow already. So, like, for more of the daily sports, you go more with the model than, say, football?
Yeah, NBA's – I think you have to for an extent. But NBA's one where – at least earlier in the season, you have less guys resting. You kind of know ahead of time if they're on back-to-backs or 3 games in 4 nights or 5 games in 7 nights. That stuff you kind of circle and follow and track as you go. So I wouldn't be putting money and wagering on a game that I think, you know, the Spurs could sit 5 guys or like what's happened in the past. And so you kind of have to just keep those in mind. But I will say Matt does a lot of baseball modeling, and lineups are obviously pretty crucial. And so you need to be following along as far as lineups go and pitching stuff, day to day, because it is a daily bet thing. And you want to bet some that are, you know, you're thinking going to move the day before. But sometimes you got to bet back the other day if there's a scratch, say Mike Trout to some play or something. So I'll let Matt kind of take a few things as far as daily baseball goes. But, yeah, we appreciate the call again, Jim.
All right. Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you know, for me, it kind of varies by sport. I would love to just be able to model everything. I'd love to be able to model every sport. But the amount of work, time, effort, research it has to go in, all the different little variables you don't know about that you might be missing, you know, when you're going into modeling, it's so tough to, like, accurately, to get it to the point where you feel like you can blindly trust it, you know, betting into it each week. So I don't want to say I have, like, a primitive model for college football and college basketball, but it's a little more basic power rating system, and I just kind of use that to help guide me. And obviously, I'm not going to bet something that's way off, but the numbers or model aren't quite as big of a deal in those sports for me as, like you said, the information and the handicapping. With baseball, you know, while I'll admit that I don't have anything anywhere close to what Rob and MLB model and those guys have as far as, like, a baseball model, I'm definitely all about the modeling in that sport. I think that's a sport where you got to play the numbers and the probabilities. And coincidentally, that's the one number where one sport where I actually make a lot of money. So I do think if you have the resources and time and ability to make a model – and you can, you know, really get something good cooked up, then I would definitely do that. But a lot of us just don't really have, you know, all the tools you need to do that. So we're kind of stuck, you know, sitting here digging through game by game, finding, you know, whatever valuable information we can.
Yeah, I think one of the things I tell people who ask me general questions about betting and following other people, because, you know, if I do have like a subscription to a site or a pick that you can buy, you know, there's like some things like you shouldn't be buying a pick for $20 if you bet $20 a game, like some really obvious stuff, but right. Some people don't grasp it, right? One of the other things I tell people is if anyone that I think claims to successfully bet every league and every sport, like that's really not realistic.
No.
It just isn't. I stick to football and basketball, and I bet baseball for about a month and a half before I put all of my attention to summer football prep, but that's it. I mean, I don't try to bet WNBA or pretend to, really. Tennis, golf, you know, MMA stuff. There's soccer everywhere worldwide. It's just tough. It does take a lot of time to do it successfully and ultimately be confident in what you're doing. And so I think that was a pretty good question that Jim had.
And I want to say that, you know, there's really not a right answer. Like the sharpest guys I've ever worked with, they didn't really believe in modeling or, you know, betting into a model. They wanted to find information and handicap the game. So it's really kind of up to you. I don't think you necessarily, I know like a lot of these guys that do the numbers and are really smart, you know, the math geeks on Twitter, you know, can be a little hard on everyone, but, you know, they're not, their way isn't necessarily the right way. It's just how they choose to do things. So I don't know. It's kind of an interesting debate and, you know, something that I definitely am kind of curious to see how I evolve and see how much I shift towards that, you know, as I go on as a better.
Definitely need to be evolving. That's part of it too. There's every single year, every 2 years, every 3 years, you can't be doing what you were doing 10 years ago now and I think be successful anyway. So it's definitely a piece of the puzzle too, is constantly changing and adapting. Next question comes from Colin Kaepernick, spelled like Andy Capper. I thought that was pretty clever. Kaepernick, I like it. Congratulations on the Twitter handle. Longtime suffering Raptors fan. Are my Raptors for real? And is the season the Raptors finally get to the NBA Finals, or is this the season? Didn't get down on any preseason futures, but currently have 260 conference futures and 195 division available. Worth it. Every year the Raptors look for real, man. So there's a lot to go this, and you probably know you're asking me. I love the NBA. It's my favorite league to watch and follow, and, like, there's so much extra stuff that goes on, and the Raptors being the best team record-wise, you know, over the last couple seasons and not being able to beat LeBron. I mean, getting swept by the Cavs last year, right, was, I think it was 4-0. Like, that was kind of embarrassing. And it ended up turning into this trade for Kawhi, who's one of the best two-way players in the world. I think you're a better team. I think all the on-off court stuff with DeRozan last year, the Raptors were actually a more impactful team when DeRozan was on the bench than he was on the court. And now you're replacing. So even if he left the team and you were just playing Van Vliet and, you know, DeLon Wright, like, you were actually slightly better, and now you're adding Kawhi Leonard. I think a new coach and a switch up there is, you know, refreshing. You don't have LeBron in the East anymore. So, yeah, I think that's great. I think definitely the Raptors are probably, if I had to pick a team to win the East, I would still pick Boston, but it's really pretty close. And so Boston being like a minus 125 favorite entering the year was pretty, they were overvalued. I think the Sixers were also pretty overvalued. So the value really came in, I think, if you were getting 4 or 5 to 1 on the Raptors to win the East. Now under 3, I think in a quick week and a half, people realize maybe Boston's going to take some time. They have some new pieces now they're implementing, and they're trying to figure out, you know, their rotations and stuff with Hayward and Kyrie now regularly playing. At 260, if you're a homer, I mean, you can probably just bet it anyway and have something to root for. But I think you did kind of miss the boat. And it sucks, like, saying that and telling someone not to bet on their team that they like. And because I think that there probably is a slight edge on plus 260. I'd have to actually check. But it, you know, you've missed out on like a couple dollars of value in a week and a half. So at this point, I'd recommend passing. But they're a team that's maybe worth watching, you know, game to game, week to week, as far as where the market's valuing them. Because early on, I think they've been slightly undervalued. And you've seen the market move their way in at least 2 games. And I'm not exactly sure like what their ATS record is so far. It's really early. It probably doesn't actually matter. But if the market's moving their way, that's usually pretty telling anyway. So good luck. As far as division goes, I mean, if you can get 2 to 1 still, I will say the winner of the East, if they get the one seed, which I think they probably can, obviously they've won 60 plus games before and Boston hasn't gotten to that point and they've started slow. Then it turns into close to like a coin flip probably as far as the Eastern Conference Finals. So that's probably your best bet. I think rather than actually trying to bet them to win the East, it's just to bet the division because, you know, I think that's at plus 195 versus plus 260 that they actually beat Boston in a 7-game series. I think that's probably a better bet now that I'm thinking through it. We have another caller up. Michael is on the line. I don't know if, Jared, I put you on that pretty quick. Michael, can you hear us okay?
Oh, hey, it's all good, guys. Nice. I want to ask you this. Georgia, Florida. I guess Bet Online opened this line higher than anyone else, minus 10. Everyone else was around 7, 6.5. I guess 7. I guess Florida's taking the money down. Which one of those openers is legitimate? And what chances do you give Georgia this week against Florida? What's the side in your opinion?
That was an interesting way of asking which one of the openers is legitimate. I mean, Bet Online was a legitimate opener. It's probably less legitimate than like the Chris opener, though. They're generally going to be sharper, and you know it gets sharper and sharper as other places open it, and then you know the market kind of gets bet into a point where then everyone else kind of copies and puts a lineup. So Bet Online, you have to credit them for actually posting a number at all first. But you know, 10 wasn't as sharp, probably a 7. I'm pretty sure though my number is 9-ish. So I actually think it's short. When I went to 6.5 today, I considered just betting it now because I liked the Georgia side. I'm going to dive in again. I did it when LSU dipped, and I figured I'm probably not in a rush, and maybe I get a -6, though. So I'm going to wait it out. I know some other people that actually like the Florida side, so I'm going to take my time. Maybe I get a 6 later in the week, but I do like the UGA side. My number's over 9, and that doesn't even account for the fact that Kirby Smart and Georgia is off an embarrassing loss, and I think they had the bye week to prep for a Florida team. But Florida may be off a bye week as well. I haven't actually checked that.
Yeah.
So it's a double wash there on the bye. But the number says to play it, if it's especially at 6, but even 6.5, I think warrants a bet. And I just think they are going to be very similar to last year where they had the really ugly game and then they bounced back and they're going to be really good and probably went out until they face Bama in the SEC title.
How many emotional factors do you guys take into consideration? Preston, you may take more than the bookmaker because the bookmaker may not look at this as closely or know how to exactly weigh things up as well. Probably more things tangible for him. But as far as they took that loss, they took that ass whooping, and they come back 2 weeks later after getting their manhood taken pretty much against one of the, in my opinion, Florida's one of the most overrated teams in the country. Turnover luck out of this world. Quarterback's not that good. Really inconsistent. Defense is really good, but they give up a lot to the run. How much of that emotion, of that they took it last week, they're coming back in 2 weeks to get theirs, how much do you put into that in a game like this, that a robbery game anyhow on a neutral field where it means everything?
Well, I've actually, from what I've been told, and I have not confirmed this myself, but someone who I respect and trust told me this, Teams that are coming off their first loss of the season this late in the season, I think it's like week 7, week 8 or later, are not good bets the next game coming off that first loss. For whatever reason, they hit like 30-35% over the last 20 years. It's just not a good spot. It's one of those things where there's some type of hangover effect. So I do think with the bye week, you do kind of mitigate that a little bit and kind of, you know, move past the LSU loss. But it just still really makes me nervous betting on a team that went from looking pretty much dominant for the first 6-7 games to just pretty much getting their ass beat, you know, for 60 minutes at LSU. So I'm a little nervous about that. But, you know, I think everyone kind of has a different interpretation on that.
Pretty sure that actually panned out in the Kentucky-Vanderbilt game. Kentucky lost.
Yeah, it did.
They were laying double digits, got bet down from like 13 to 10, 10.5. And Vanderbilt, sure enough, almost won the game outright. I think it ended up being a 7-point final. Okay.
There was another game last week, too. I can't remember. But one other team had the same situation, you know, and didn't come close to cover.
And that could be something where it's not even emotional, but it's just that the market reacts, or the public, or the betting, and you know how people are reacting to the games are thinking, oh well, Georgia is going to bounce back off their loss, or Kentucky is going to bounce back, and that's just why the number's high. And if a number is 3 or 4 points high, 30-35%, I'm not sure what it actually was, that might be a little bit extreme. So maybe there is some emotion to that, right? And it's hard to really quantify emotion when you're doing this, but the real value could just be that people are anticipating, and bookmakers included, that people are going to be betting Georgia because they're off of their loss, or they're going to be betting Kentucky after their loss. Yeah.
Of course. Let me just say this quickly, guys, and I'll let you go. The money's actually going the other direction, and I'm not a big – I guess you can believe in these historical trends, but how many of these teams are as good as Georgia is actually, with the kind of coaching staff they have, the kind of talent they have? And last week, Kentucky, they turned the ball over twice the first five times they snapped the ball. 17-yard gain, the quarterback fumbles the ball going down, he throws the ball behind the line of scrimmage, the running back can't catch it. Yeah, they had two. They had at least one pick called back for defensive holding, and they had the opening second half kickoff called back. So just because it didn't happen, there's a 40 mile an hour wind in the quarterback for Kentucky's trash. I know you're familiar with this anyhow, but I'm just saying that's not the best example here in either case, because Georgia isn't your regular team, you know, historic wise, and Kentucky should have covered the game. Guys, I appreciate your time.
Yeah, we appreciate the call. I mean, he maybe makes a good point in the fact that Georgia is, for me, I think, still like a top three team in the country. So obviously and Kirby Smart's a top coach. I mean, so yeah, maybe they are going to be less, you know, victim to that flat type spot off of their first loss.
Every situation's its own, you know, 30-35% of them covers, you know, even if that is true. So
Georgia could be the 35%.
Yeah, very, you know, very well. So I didn't mean to imply necessarily that would be the definite reason to stay off. I just, you know, for me, I think that's one thing I'm nervous about, along with the fact that now that you've got the first year head coach in Mullen and Grantham, they're getting settled in, and you can clearly see the improvement from Florida now that the coaching staff's getting comfortable with the players, sure, and vice versa. It's just, it's definitely a good, I'd say, buy low, sell high spot. It's kind of weird to say, you know, buy low for Georgia. But I definitely can see the argument there.
I kind of thought that was the case against LSU, honestly. I was like, why is it 6.5? Like,
right.
Is LSU, and the week before, LSU just got cracked by Florida. So, producer has a question, and we'll get to one or two more of your guys' questions, and then we got to wrap this up. Maryland versus Lovie. Steamed from 15.5 to 18.5 some places.
I don't get it.
I don't like it either. I honestly saw it happen, and I was like, well, I'm going to wait this out. But I would bet Illinois if I had to. Maryland can't pass the ball at all. Illinois, I'm not sure where they rank against the rush. Let me double-check really quick right now. It looks like 120th. That's not great. Yeah. That could be what the move was. People just playing the X's and O's there.
Well, you know,
the bottom 10 in the country.
Sadly, I watched the Illinois game last week. I live bet under when the snowstorm started, which was a mistake because it was sunny skies like 20 minutes later. But Illinois literally, I think, like two or three straight possessions fumbled the ball in their own 25 or 30 and just gift wrapped the game to Wisconsin. So I didn't, you know, they moved the ball okay. I didn't think they looked that bad. So I think Illinois is a little better than expected. I think Maryland's trash and they just beat up on bad teams. So I don't get it. I think this number is going to come back and probably close 17 or a little lower.
Maryland didn't score against Iowa. I mean, Iowa's good.
They suck.
But, I mean, Maryland didn't score at all. And it was, I think it was 23-0 final. But, yeah, good luck, Jared, if you end up betting Illinois. I'm not sure where you're leaning that way. Let's talk about this game because I had marked it, too. It was one that I bet, and I'm curious what you think. Eric Baldwin, he asked about UK, Mizzou. He thought the line would be more like 5.5, and at 7, he thinks Kentucky's worth a play. I think it's worth a play at 7, too. I did take it. I had it at, I think I had it even lower than you. I had it like 3-something. You have it 4.5. So I like it, and my biggest play of the year was Missouri last week, so I'm not like really anti-Missouri, That's not true. Hawaii, Wyoming was my biggest play. I don't count that one anymore. I'm trying to forget
about
it.
So let's just block that out.
So other than that one, Missouri was. So I'm fine. Missouri had a lot of things, I think, lining up that made sense to bet them against Memphis. In this case, I don't think there's anything wrong with Kentucky. I wanted to bet the under and still may bet a little under if it sits in the 55 range, but it would have been nice to get like a 57, 58. We'll see where it goes. I think a lot of people, their numbers are like 60 for the total, but I think the matchup actually ends up, this is a dead under game. So it's pretty sharp open, I think, ultimately. But yeah, I like the plus seven at the very least.
Yeah, looking at this, I think this is probably the biggest contrast of styles Kentucky's had all year, where they're really going up against a team that's more of a spread it out, throw it around. And I do think that actually favors Kentucky. I know Missouri's good at stopping the run, and that's something they're going to need to do. But I think Missouri's offense is going to struggle with Kentucky for sure. I think Josh Allen and passing downs is going to give Drew Locke, all sorts of hell. So I don't necessarily see any reason to bet Missouri. I think the issue with betting Kentucky is you really just got to wonder with Terry Wilson, like, where's his head at? We're talking 18 passing yards last week, the week before, the A&M game was a disaster, and they're going to play the backup some, and I don't know how that's going to go, but it could just turn into a carousel of just, awfulness between the two of them. So don't really know kind of what to expect on that front. I will say that Stoops, for whatever reason, in the last couple of years, has really started to do a lot better in this, like, road dog role. It seems to get his teams ready to play. They seem to kind of thrive in that, us against everyone mentality. They did it at Florida last year. They did it at South Carolina, and they did it at Missouri the last time they played here 2 years ago. I think they beat them 35-7. So there are definitely, some good things going for Kentucky. I don't understand the line either. I think it should be like 4.5, 5. So I think it's going to come down too. But I'm still a little nervous. It just kind of seems like they're trending in the wrong direction. And, with the no QB and Missouri having a good run D, I think I'd rather just play under.
That could be the way to go. Yeah. I'd probably just end up betting both, to be honest. We have one guy threw in like 5 games, so it's not going to be really doable. Let's go to someone else. Desert Bro, you threw 5 games out there. So,
well, we covered 2 of them, kind of.
We did cover Stanford a little. Let's talk a little bit. Fine, we're going to give you one game, the UAB one, because I saw UAB take money. UTEP took money, from 17.5 down to 16. And I actually was kind of under the radar. UTEP's been really good.
They're getting better. That's what I was telling somebody the other day.
4 straight games, I think, within a possession.
I kind of want to talk about this game because it's kind of interesting.
La Tech, they lose by 7 last week. North Texas on the road only lost by 3. They lost by 9, I think. Yeah, UTSA, they lost by 9. But before that, New Mexico State was a close game. They're better, right? Now they're at home, but UAB has been quietly maybe the best team in the conference.
Yeah, after they lost to Coastal, they've been killing.
This is what I was thinking. I was like, UTEP's the side. I think they are because they're under the radar playing so well. And then UAB beat La Tech 28-7 on the road. They beat Rice by 42-0. And then they beat North Texas, and they beat them by 8. They've just been covering now for 3 straight weeks, so do you really want to step in front of the UAB train? It's a really intriguing game. I'm not going to lie. I don't think it's a Conference USA game that I'll be betting, but if you're able to get the 17.5, numbers-wise, that's going to look like it's going to be a good bet, but I couldn't do it.
Is that on Fox or CBS?
This game?
Yeah, I'm kidding.
I'll find the stream and let you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, it's too bad we didn't talk about this on Sunday because we pretty much missed the number now. It's 15.5, 16, so what are you going to do? But
you're going to UTEP money line in there?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it looks decent. Yeah, but like you said, they're playing a lot better. I think it's kind of a tricky spot for UAB coming off the 2 really impressive wins. But, I'm on a Conference USA band, so I can't bet this.
That's
so
true. You made that rule for yourself.
Yeah, good luck to everybody else.
Let's go real quick. Carlos 553311. I think that's your Twitter handle. Iowa State, Texas Tech, both teams improving lately, but ISU seems like it should be higher than 3, 3.5. I had 2 other people ask me that same question. Anyways, before I saw your Twitter question, so maybe this is a good one, I wound up betting some under 56 for whatever that's worth. I think that's the best bet in the game. I think 3 is actually pretty fair. I had it closer to like 3 point something. It's higher and closer to 4. And I think you were 2 something. I might be mixing it up. I glanced at your stuff Sunday night. But regardless, it's not enough for me to bet either way. And it seems like everyone wants to bet Iowa State. I know they just beat West Virginia. Maybe that's part of it. People are thinking, West Virginia is really good, and they crushed them at home. And Campbell's the GOAT. I mean, he probably is, but I couldn't bet it. I think the number is actually pretty close to fair.
Yeah, I actually bet Texas Tech plus 4 earlier today. Kind of funny asset. I'm really impressed by Cliff Kingsbury. I think he's doing a great job with Texas Tech. I mean, I think he did a good job getting them to a bowl last year, and then this year, going and winning at TCU, they pretty much handled who did they beat? Oklahoma State on the road. I mean, they have some really impressive wins. And I know Iowa State looked really good against West Virginia, but now you've been sitting around for 2 weeks hearing about how incredible you are. You know, the freshman quarterback, there's some tape on Purdy now for Iowa State. And I think Texas Tech is a lot better with Bowman at quarterback. So I think there's some good things going for Texas Tech here.
And their defense is actually really good.
Yeah, I think it's a tough spot for Iowa State. I think they're probably about as overconfident as you could be coming off of that win 2 weeks ago. So I think it's a good spot for the Red Raiders.
Cliff Kingsbury, to, I guess, point you to the direction of, I think, under's the best bet. I think they scored 3 on Iowa State last year, 7 the year before. Like, they have, like, a total of 10 points in two seasons. They cannot score on Iowa State.
It was, like, 66-10 2 years ago when they played at Iowa State, too, which I think is a definite bulletin board material for sure.
That's true. It helps. Ultimately, I just don't understand why it's 56 because I think just numbers-wise it's too high anyways. And then the matchup, I think, just kind of sets up. Iowa State had an extra week to prep defensively. We'll see. I think that's a fun game to watch, though, and follow, especially if you're a Big 12 fan. One more game, because I know you bet it. There was a couple questions we couldn't get to. I apologize. We had a ton, and then we had a bunch of calls. But I want to keep this podcast at least under an hour, and we're getting close. But Matt bet this, and there is no way in hell I'm betting it, but I think this is one of the most intriguing, like, you don't want to call it sharp versus square. Is this kind of just a mundane and, like, pointless, worthless, like, saying or a way to term this?
Bros versus Joes.
It's very contrarian, I think. After Purdue upsets Ohio State, and with ease at home, and everyone's going to see they're going on the road to Sparty, and Sparty's laying under a field goal. And how do you not take Michigan State against Purdue? Michigan State at home laying under a field goal. It's a Purdue team that just upset Ohio State. And you immediately bet Purdue at +3.
Well, yeah, I was lied to. I don't know if anybody here follows Joey Nish, but if you do, you should unfollow him because he posts bad injury info. And said, no, I'm kidding. But he said he was saying Lewerke wasn't going to play, which, based on what I saw last week in that Michigan State game, or, I mean, he was pretty banged up. It sounded like he probably wasn't going to be good. And then Michigan State also lost their best receiver, Davis, who was pretty much their entire offense since they haven't been able to run the ball this year. So I don't care what Purdue did last week. The way they're playing right now, I'll take 3 points. I actually took 3. I'll take that against Michigan State all day. Like, I understand it's a bad spot, but you got, you know, Brohm and a team that's playing incredible football against a team that has no offense whatsoever. I just, you know, I'm not going to overthink this. I think it's silly that Michigan State's even laying points.
Lewerke is probable. I just looked it up, but I actually closed it already. Davis, is that the guy that tore his, like, Achilles or something?
Yeah, I want to say.
He's done for the year
for sure.
Yeah,
he's then. Out, okay. Yeah. And yeah, he was their leading receiver. So
and they struggle moving the ball as is, like you said. So, yeah. And especially if Lowerke's playing injured because he's had some issues himself. But that's a really intriguing game. I think Michigan State will be a really, like, when you look at the splits, let me pull it up even as is, popular. 57% of the bets, according to the one screen I'm looking at. I don't know if yours is any different. But when it's all said and done, if I had a pick, I would imagine Michigan State gets, you know, at least 60% of the bets or whatever those splits are. They're 3 at Chris now. You can get 2 still in town, a couple 2.5s around offshore too. But I don't know. I'm not touching it, but I thought that was a really cool bet, just to, like, auto-snap bet Purdue. But it may have been more correlated to the Lewerke not playing at the time, at least.
I think the one thing we know for sure is whatever happens, people will overreact and say, this is why you can't bet either Purdue way. Or this is why you shouldn't overreact to a letdown. So either way, we're going to have some Monday morning quarterbacks on Twitter after the game. But
Max Muncy, single against the shift. Towards the shift, too. That's hard to do. He hit it hard. Down 1, top of the 7th. I'll be leaving. By the way, I needed to throw this out. We will not have a show next week. I will be in Los Angeles. I'll be going to a couple of the games this weekend and then taking the kids to Legoland down
Legoland.
South, you know, make a trip out of it. So I will be down in Carlsbad/Los Angeles, where I grew up, hanging with my pops, watching the World Series. But the following week, we will be back, so you get a week off. But thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Yeah, man, it was fun. Enjoy the World Series.
We will. Thanks again, Jared. We'll see you guys next time on A Petty Moose.